Hello and welcome to ASAF Music School. I'm so glad that you've decided to join us for this course entitled Vocal Technique. In this course, we will be discussing different ways that we can become better singers. We're going to talk about the physical aspects of singing. We'll be talking about posture. We'll be talking about breathing. We'll be talking about how the voice box itself works. We'll talk about resonation. We'll discuss how to communicate the message of the song that you're singing better. And all that we do, we need to realize that we're here to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to bring glory to the Lord. And as we go through this course, we will be discussing different ways that we can become better servants, better communicators of the message that God has given us. Today's lesson is more philosophical in nature. We're going to take a look at the scripture to understand why we ought to sing. And the lesson is entitled, A Reason to Sing. So let's take a look there. You should have an outline printed out there in front of you. If you haven't done so, you might want to go back to the homepage of this course and print out that page so that you'll have that as a reference to look at as we go through this lesson. A Reason to Sing. You'll notice that the subtitle says, The Lord is my song. You see, the Lord Himself is the reason we sing. You'll notice there in our introduction, Psalm 118:14 says, The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The reason for understanding music, performing music, and striving for excellence in our music is to bring glory to God. This should be no surprise because the Bible states, Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And we certainly want to do that in our singing as well. So let's take a look at our lesson. Why should we sing? What is the reason why we sing? Number one, one reason why we sing is because we are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. The book of Genesis tells us this, that mankind was made in the image of God. What that means is this. We have been created with certain characteristics, certain attributes, certain personality traits that would be true of God Himself. You see, one of the reasons why we appreciate, we understand music, why we like to listen to it, why we like to perform music, is because God Himself is musical. We're going to take a look at some Bible references that help us to understand that God Himself enjoys, appreciates, and performs music. Letter A. Musicianship is an attribute of God. You realize that God Himself is an unchanging being. He never changes from eternity past to the present to eternity future. God is always the same. And He has certain characteristics, certain attributes about Him that never change. And one of those things that is true of God, one of those attributes of God, is that He is musical. He is musical. Look at point number one. God the Father sings and plays the trumpet. Let's take a look at a couple of scripture references that will help us understand how the different parts of the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are involved in music. First of all, God the Father sings. And you'll notice on the right side of your paper that there are a list of scripture references that will help us as we go through this lesson. Let's take a look there at Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. It's interesting. God the Father here is pictured as singing. I've never heard God sing. One day I hope to hear Him when we get to heaven. But until then, we'll just have to take the scripture for what it says. God the Father sings. And I'm sure He sings very beautifully. It'll be an awesome thing one day to actually hear Him sing. But we see here that God the Father sings. And what is He doing when what is God the Father doing when He expresses this song, when He sings this song? It says there that He will joy over thee with singing. Personally, I believe this might be a cross-reference to that scripture passage which says that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I believe that one reason why God sings is because He is showing His joy over a sinner who repents. But we have here a reference to God the Father being involved in singing. This almighty, unchanging God is involved in singing. So God the Father sings. It also says there in point number one that He plays a trumpet. Look on the scripture references there on the side of the page. Zechariah 9:14. The last part of the verse says this, And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. And so here we have a reference to God the Father blowing the trumpet. So these two references are talking about God the Father being involved in music. The point of this is that we were made in God's image. God himself is musical, and when he created mankind, he created within man the ability to understand, to appreciate, to perform music. Number two, not only do we see God the Father singing and playing the trumpet, but number two, we see God the Son, Jesus, singing at the Last Supper. As Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, the last thing he did with his disciples was he had the Passover feast with them. We call it the Last Supper. And the Bible says this, that when they were done with the Passover feast, that they sang a hymn. This is, of course, a reference to the Psalms that were sung by the Jewish people at the end of their Passover feast. But you'll notice there, Matthew 26:30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So here's a reference to Jesus, God the Son, when he was on earth, singing a song of praise to the Lord, singing one of the Psalms. So we see God the Father singing, playing the trumpet. We see God the Son singing at the Last Supper. And then number three, and this is very interesting. The Bible teaches us that one of the characteristics of a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit is that he will be a singer. The reference there, of course, is to Ephesians 5:18-19, which says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And somebody who is filled with the Spirit will do this. Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we see that a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit is going to be somebody that is a singer. And one of the things that we see happens when somebody is Holy Spirit filled is that they enjoy singing. So we see here that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Godhead are musical and are involved in music and have as part of their attribute, part of their personality, this attribute of being musical and singing. Letter B there is that biblical living results in singing. We see in Scripture references to the fact that Jesus is the Word. Look at John chapter 1. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is a reference to Jesus. But what about the Scripture? What effect does the Scripture have? What effect does the Bible have on singing? Look at Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ, that's talking about the Bible, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So not only do we see the fact that God the Father sings, God the Son was a singer, God the Holy Spirit indwelling us causes us to sing, but we also see that if we have the word of Christ dwelling in us, if we are filled with the Bible, if we have memorized Scripture, if we are meditating on the Scripture like we ought to, that we will be teaching and admonishing one another with these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We'll be singing, and we'll have, the Bible says there, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so, the Bible teaches us that because we are made in God's image, that we have this ability to appreciate, to perform, and to sing music. And when we sing, we are showing, when we sing the right types of songs, we're singing the right types of music, we are showing the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we are showing the fact that we are filled with the Word of Christ. So, again, the point of this lesson is, why should we sing? One reason is because when we do, we are showing one of the attributes of God Himself. Number two, not only are we made in the image of God, but we see that God's Word sets a pattern for singing. God's Word sets the pattern. We can look at the Bible, and all throughout history, and even in the future, we see references to the fact that man can use music in the worship of God. Look at letter A. Letter A. The oldest reference to music in the Bible would come from the book of Job, Job 38:7, which states that the morning stars sang together. The morning stars sang together. This is in the book of Job, and here in Job, God is talking to Job, and he's asking Job some rhetorical questions, such as, "Job, where were you when I created this? And where were you, Job, when I did this?" And he says to Job, "Where were you, Job, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy?" And of course, Job would have to answer the question, "I wasn't there, God, only you were." But we do see here that before creation itself, as God was creating the world, the Bible says that there was singing going on. And this reference is to the morning stars. I'm not exactly sure who the morning stars are. Some people would believe that that's actually the physical stars up in the sky producing some sort of a sound. Others would say that the morning stars there is a reference to angels singing a song. It is poetry. This is poetic in nature. Talk about the morning stars singing together, the sons of God shouting for joy, and those two things would be, those two ideas, those two phrases would be parallel in Hebrew poetry. So the morning stars and the sons of God would be the same people. And many people would say then that these sons of God, as it says in the beginning of Job, are different angels, different created beings that God has made other than people. So if so, this is the only reference in Scripture that indicates specifically that angels would be singing. And that's kind of a side note. But the important thing here to realize is this. Before God even finished making the world, as God was creating the world, there was music involved. The morning stars were singing together at the creation. Letter B. As we move from creation, we see that there is a history of music in the Bible. We could talk about Jubal, who created musical instruments and became a musician. But there are many, many important Bible characters that were musical as well. In letter B, we're talking about David. David, the man after God's own heart, was a musician. David, of course, is a very pivotal character in the Old Testament. David was brought in as just a shepherd boy. He was brought in before King Saul to play his harp. We find that David, of course, later becomes the king himself. And during the course of his life, he wrote many psalms, which is another word for songs. David wrote many psalms. These are songs of praise to the Lord. And David was called the man after God's own heart. And this man after God's own heart was very musical and used his talents and abilities as a musician. And so David, at the end of his life, is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. One of the outstanding characteristics of this King David was that he was a musician. He wasn't the only one. There are other well-known Bible characters, and I have listed there Moses, Miriam, Deborah and Barak, Mary, and other Bible characters as well are listed as being musical. And so we see that these folks that were close to the Lord, these folks that had a wonderful relationship with God, were people that were musical. So we see that the morning stars sang together at creation. We find Bible characters, many Bible characters that were musical. Letter C, we could take a look and have a whole discussion about the temple music program. Music was important in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the worship of the Lord. We find that when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and he put it in a special tent, there was much singing involved, much music. There was trumpets and there were cymbals and there were people singing as a part of the celebration. So there's a lot of music in the Old Testament that revolves around the temple and in the worship of the Lord. Number one, there's a reference in 1 Chronicles 23:5 to 4,000 musicians. David says that he set up 4,000 musicians to praise the Lord. Number two, there's a reference to 288 music teachers in 1 Chronicles 25:7. I hope that you understand that the music program involved in the worship of Jehovah in the Old Testament was a big thing. These folks were employed full-time. All they did was perform music. They learned music. They bettered their skills as musicians. They taught others to sing and to play the instruments. And there was a whole program set up in the temple to perform this music as part of their Jewish worship of the Lord. This wasn't a small thing. You see a reference to 4,000 people. That's an enormous number of people being involved at one time. 288 people that are just teachers. This was no small thing. This was a big thing. Number three, you'll notice at the dedication of the temple that there were singers playing cymbals, psalteries, harps, as well as 120 trumpet players. Again, this is no small thing. This was no small ensemble. This was a huge group of people. And these, of course, were all Levites. These were priests. People that were set aside specifically for performing music, for making music a part of the worship of the Lord. So we see here that there is a precedent set here for music in our churches. Music, as far back as the Old Testament there, has been used as part of the worship and praise of the Lord. So we see the temple music program. So the morning stars sang together creation. We see Bible characters that were musical. We see the temple music program. And then we also notice that in heaven, there will be music. If you read the book of Revelation, there are several references in the book of Revelation to the fact that there is music in heaven. After time, the Bible says time shall be no more. Well, when that time is ended, there will be music. Look at number one under letter D. The new song sung by the four beasts and the 24 elders. You can look in Revelation 5, 8, and 9 to read about that new song. Number two, there's a song of the 144,000 Jewish men in Revelation chapter 14. Again, this song of praise and worship of the Lord and of the Lamb. Number three, there's a great song of victory found in Revelation 15, verses 2 and 3. I hope that you're beginning to understand the importance of music as found in the Scriptures. There was music when time began at creation. There has been music all throughout history, and it's been a big part of the worship of the Lord. And there will still be music even after this earth has passed away and eternity begins, and there will be music. I often tell people that there are a few things in life that you can do now that you'll be doing forever, and singing, I believe, is one of those things that is an eternal activity, something that you can learn to enjoy, to appreciate, to be involved with, and it is an activity that you can be involved with forever. And that's a wonderful thing. Hope you enjoy music as much as I do. So we see here that God's Word set the pattern. We started off talking about the fact that we are made in God's image. God Himself is musical, and so we therefore have the ability to appreciate music. We see that God's Word sets the pattern for music and tells us all throughout history there's been music, and even in the future there will be music and there will be singing. Then lastly, we need to look at this last point, and that is this. Number three, singing is a Bible command. Singing is a Bible command. Jesus said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And throughout the Scripture, we are commanded to sing. Have you ever stopped to consider these passages that talk about the fact that we are to sing? How about 1 Chronicles 16:23? "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation." If you were to do a search through the Scriptures of all the places where it says, "Sing to the Lord," or "Sing unto the Lord," or "Sing a new song unto the Lord," there are many, many references. There are over 500 references to music in the Bible, and many of these are direct commands that we ought to be involved in singing to the Lord. So we ought to be singing. A singing person is somebody that is in obedience to the Word of God. Letter A, what kind of music are we supposed to be singing? What is our music supposed to do? Well, letter A, it's supposed to be biblically based. The Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." In other words, the Bible should become a part of your life. You should be meditating on it. You should be memorizing it. And as that word of Christ works on you, your songs that you perform, the songs that you sing, will be biblically based. You won't be singing a song that is contrary to the doctrines, to the teachings of the Scripture. Letter B, our music ought to be clearly separated from worldly influences. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so if we are truly right with the Lord, if our heart is filled with the Scripture, we will be singing songs that will be separated from worldly influence. It will be a new song. It will be different. It won't be the same thing that you would hear from somebody who is worldly, somebody that is unsaved. Letter C, our music is to be directed to God. The Bible says to sing unto the Lord. We need to recognize and realize that when we sing, that when we perform, we are singing in the presence of God. He sees what we do, and we are singing to Him. Our music ought to be like a prayer. Our music is done for the Lord. Letter D, our music is to be sung from our heart. It ought to be a reflection of what's inside of us. The love that we have for God and the spirit that we have towards God ought to be evident in the music that we sing. It should be sung from our heart. It shouldn't be something that somebody else wrote that we don't agree with. It ought to be something that is music that is a reflection of what we have inside. Letter E, it is to be for the edification of the saved. We're supposed to teach. We're supposed to admonish one another. We're supposed to edify. We're supposed to exhort one another with our music. So our music is for the edification, for the teaching, for the training of saved people. And many great characters throughout history have used music, have written songs to be an influence on their followers, to help people to understand Scripture better, to help them to become better people, to become more like Christ. So it should be for the edification of the saved. Letter F, our music is to be a testimony to the lost. The Bible says that He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Our music is different. Our music is a song of praise to the Lord. And if we truly perform music in a manner that is heartfelt and is aligned with Scripture, the unsaved person will look at that and will say, that person is different. That person has a new song in his heart. It's not the same kind of song I listen to. It's not the same kind of song that I sing. It's different. And the Bible says that that can be a testimony to the lost. We don't use music as a tool for soul winning. We use music as a tool of worship and praise and communication from our heart to the Lord and to the heart of saved people. But an unsaved person should be able to look at that and see that there's something different, and it should be a great song of testimony to that person. Letter G. Our music ought to be done with excellence. We always strive for excellence in our music. When people see the type of job, the type of energy, the type of job that we're doing, the type of energy that we are putting into our music, into our singing, they will see a reflection of what we think of our God. And we serve a God who is excellent. We can look around at creation, the things that God has made. We can look at God's Word and the principles laid down there and the incredible wisdom that God has given to us in His book. And we see that God Himself is excellent. And we want people to look at our singing and to realize and understand that we think much of our God and who He is. And so therefore, we ought to always strive for excellence in all that we do so that we can present a good picture of who our God is. Well, I hope this lesson has been a blessing to you. This is the basis from which we begin our lessons on singing. The posture can be correct. You can be breathing correct. You can be phonating correctly. You can be resonating well. But if your heart is not right with the Lord, your music will be ineffective and it won't accomplish the things that your music ought to be accomplishing. You ought to understand that God Himself is musical, that God's Word sets the pattern, that we are commanded to sing, and that our music ought to be biblically based. And if we align ourselves with scriptural principles and we take these things to heart and put them into our lives, our music can be effective, it can communicate well, it can be a blessing to those who hear us, and it can be a tremendous testimony to the unsaved of what they ought to have in their own heart. And so I hope that you'll take these scripture references, memorize them, and make them a part of your ministry as you sing and as you perform music for the Lord.